Before I turn it over to our two speakers, I want to say a few words about Juneteenth. I had never heard of this particular holiday until 1981, when somebody mentioned it to me when I was working at San Francisco State University. And now it is a federal holiday. I think the proclamation was passed a year ago. And it was 157 years ago today that U.S. federal troops arrived in Galveston, Texas, and that was the last state where black slaves were still in bondage. The enslaved African Americans in the state learned of their freedom due to the Emancipation Proclamation and also the 13th Amendment. Juneteenth celebrations tend to focus on education and reflection on a continuing path to freedom and the steps still needed to achieve equality. So let us remember how important this holiday is. And we, especially as white people in this country, have a lot of very unfinished business to accomplish. And I hope, actually, next year that we can do an entire service on this theme. So, Father's Day. To me, it's a very complex holiday, sometimes even more complex than Mother's Day. I'm not a father myself, so I can't speak to this day as fathers in real life can do. Somebody asked me this week, well, why weren't you a father? And one reason is I didn't want to bring up children the way I was brought up. And I could see myself going down that path way too easily. And I also must admit that I was never mature enough to become a father and all of its responsibilities. Do I regret that at times? Yes, I do. But that's where my life has been. So I've invited Mark McGinty and Rich Chafee to speak on their experiences of being fathers from two different generations. I should say a few words about Mark. He is one of the nicest people that I have met here. I think Mark showed up about the same time I came here, didn't you? Somewhere around there, yeah. And we've gotten connected over time. We meet in my office and we solve the problems of the world at least once a month. And Mark has been a real blessing, not just to me, but also this community as he is a member of the board. So, Mark, I would like you to please come up first and please share.
Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing today? I guess I need my glasses for both. Uh-oh. As you can see, I have Cora, Isla, and Finn. They are my brood, as well as Aaron. I have been blessed twice with being a father. I was 21 when I first became a father. And so I have three children, 31, 30, and 26. And I have four grandchildren. And then I decided to start all over again with Cora, Finn, and Isla as well. So being a father has been a blessing. I think I was meant to be a father. I did a lot of stupid things when I was a kid, didn't I, Mr. Smith? How you doing today? He can't hear me. So I lost my father when I was four. My grandfather really took the place of that because my mother married someone else that was focused on other things. So my grandfather was really the patriarch in my life, and I thank him for that. He was very good to me. He taught me all the things that a boy is supposed to be taught, and so that was great. At 21, I was definitely not mature to have children. I was not expecting that, but it was a blessing. It was wonderful. I mean, all the joys of being a father, watching them grow, the smiles, the little touches, the cuddles, It's fantastic. Now I'm much more patient. I don't have as much energy at 52, but you knew I was going to do this. I have been blessed with the best family that a man could ever have. I do a lot of things in the community, and I'm out of the house a lot. But when I come home, and to see the smile on Isla's face when I come home, to see Cora give me a hug, to see Finn smile, it makes it all worth it. I'm going to be 69 when Cora graduates from high school. So I have a lot of energy that I need to acquire. So if anybody knows of any energy stores, I would love to know about that, because I need that. But it's been a blessing. It's been a ride. It's been a ride, and it's going to be... come on, baby. You want to come up here? Cora is now 18 months. Well, 19 months, excuse me. Finn is 7 months. She's walking. He's getting ready to walk. She's getting ready to talk. So being a father is great, and to have all of you here to allow Cora to run around and be free and to hear Finn screech like a pterodactyl, it's very reassuring, and it warms my heart. So I thank all of you, and for the fathers that are out there and for the mothers that have done both, thank you. This is your day. This is your day, and enjoy it. I think I was meant to be a father. And I love it. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I think you're wrong. I think you would have made a great father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, and by the way, if you ever want to have a great conversation with Mark, ask him a very simple question. Tell me about basketball. You do. So our second person will be Rich Chafee, and I've gotten to know Rich and Corinne over the last year since I arrived here, and when I was trying to think, okay, who would be a good father figure to ask to do this Sunday, Rich immediately came to mind, and I also suspected he'd be willing to say yes because he has a sense of humor and is willing to engage my particular ways of doing services. So, Rich, would you please come up?
Thank you, Alex, for the nice words. And Mark, it's been my pleasure to get to know Mark. I think when you started coming to this church, then we discovered, or I discovered, or Mark already knew, that we had something in common because Mark and my son Tyler and my daughter Bryn went to Meadville High School together. So there was that connection. And then I just want to say how much I appreciate and enjoy seeing you in your father role, to see you with your children, to see the love, caring that you give them. It's really a joy. Well, unlike Mark, who could just get up and talk, I decided I better not try that. So I've written my remarks, and you'll have to excuse me if I'm reading this most of the time. But I decided that was the best way for me, if not for you. When I was a boy, I witnessed my father die suddenly of a violent and excruciatingly painful death of a heart attack. He had been an alcoholic most of his life and all of my life. His struggles with alcoholism were a source of great anxiety, insecurity, and confusion for me. I love my father, but I could never understand why, if he loved me, he did the things that he did that were so emotionally hurtful. I knew I didn't want to be like my father, certainly not the father he was when he was drinking. But I hoped that someday I would be a dad, and I never doubted that I would do everything in my power to keep my children secure and to help raise them in a family of love, free of strife and worry. But I discovered that becoming a father is much like wandering through the wilderness without a compass or without your cell phone. It is meandering through the unknown, challenging, rewarding, and sometimes scary, but never devoid of demands. But then I met Corrine, and when we got married, I really didn't have much time to think about being a dad. Within the first month of our marriage, Corrine had to go off birth control pills because they were causing her severe migraine headaches. So lo and behold, 9 months later, our first child was born. And even though we had taken a child development class together in graduate school, I was still a neophyte in parenting, no doubt about that. The first night our son was, Tyler was home from the hospital, and he so much as hiccuped, I jumped out of bed in near panic mode, had no idea what to do. With neither our son or our daughter did I learn to change diapers, much to chagrin of Corrine. But with our toddler daughter, Bryn, I did learn to dress her while Corrine was off teaching Sunday school. Did I mention clothes on backwards? With Tyler, I learned to stop trying to mold him in my image as a little athlete and just let him enjoy chasing butterflies around out in left field on his little league team. On the other hand, I had near paroxysms when I came home from work one afternoon and saw that he had stripped his bicycle to the smallest parts, had spread them out on a beach towel in the yard. Another time, it was the lawnmower. But then, as only a child can do, he reassured me. He said, "It's Mark, where are you when I need you?" He said, "It's okay, Dad. I can put it back together. And it'll work even better." And it did. I learned a lesson on how to be a better dad that day. Well, as for my son, he went on to become an engineer. As the father of a young daughter, I learned to stay out of the way and yield to the mother-daughter relationship. However, in Bryn's freshman year of high school, I ignored her desire to become a cheerleader and only begrudgingly went to some of her football games to see her cheer. I wanted her to be an athlete, not to cheer for a bunch of guys. But I got to redeem myself as her dad when I attended every one of her swim meets and became the president of the Parents Association that supported the swim team. And I sometimes delivered newspapers for her on cold, snowy mornings after a swim meet so she could catch an extra hour's sleep. The truth is, there were lots more situations where I might have been a better dad, but I always will be thankful for the chance to be a dad, and I hope to keep on learning in my special role. To paraphrase what someone once said about being a parent, it really is the best job in the world. Thanks.
Thanks, Hal.
Thanks.
Yeah, hug.
Yeah. Thanks. I know it is not customary in many of our congregations to do any applause, but I think this is a time to do some applause for these two gentlemen. Thank you. And of course, for everyone here who is a father, thank you all.